And we're back here, hour number two, the early show, Monday, August the 26th, 2019, 16 minutes past the hour. And today we're revisiting a piece of Marian history, and a piece of Marian history that's going to come to the forefront here very soon. Matter of fact, in the next month or so, because in the Marian City School District, there will be two buildings renamed. One, the Mary Ellen Withrow Middle School Academy, located at 565 Oak Street, the old Oak Street Elementary, currently the home of the Boys and Girls Club here in Marian, and the Mary Ellen Withrow High School Academy, located at 1565 Amherst Drive, the old Colonial Acres Elementary School. These are Marian City Schools' alternative school sites. And as we mentioned in hour number one, this is the only time in the five-district history of Marian County and Marian City Schools that a school has been named for a woman and that a school has been named for a living person. And the finalization of this will all happen on September 3rd at a school board meeting for the Marian City Schools, which is open to the public. So you'll want to check that out. Also, Mary Ellen is having an open house at her museum on Saturday, August 31st from 2 to 4 p.m. The museum's located within the Primrose community here in Marian, 1550 Wellness Drive, just past the YMCA. It is free admission, and Mary Ellen will be there to take your questions about anything in the museum. A well-deserved trip. You know, Mary Ellen, last week when we finally got the word from the city schools, they announced that this was going to happen. What was the reaction when you finally could start to tell people?
Well, I said, you know, different people reacted in different ways, and sometimes people were really excited, and sometimes people didn't say much. You know, it was interesting.
During the time period when you knew about it but couldn't say anything, what was that time period like?
Well, I just I held back because I didn't know, you know, I thought I'm not supposed to talk about this. So I was trying to keep from telling anybody except my family. I told my family, they were all excited, and my daughters especially, you know.
How did they take the
news? They were thrilled. Yeah, you know, they were really excited.
It's tremendous.
Yes.
Now, your grandkids, what do they think about it?
Well, you know, I haven't talked to them since I knew it. I haven't seen them, and I'm anxious to see what they say. But I guess a couple of them want to come to the ceremony at the school board meeting.
And that's going to be tremendous. Again, that's September 3rd, next week, and that'll be at Grant Middle School, and it was at 6 p.m.?
Yes.
That's going to be something well worth attending. That'll be really an historic event that the vote comes down and will be recorded, and mm-hmm. it'll be on the books
right,
from that
right.
point out. When the signs finally go up, what do you think it'll be like to drive by there?
I'll probably drive by several times. Just back and forth.
They'll be able to find you.
Yes.
You'll be out there.
I'll be out in front.
Out in front, taking a look. That's right. Well, has anything ever been named after you of that size?
No. Yeah. No. No, I had the Withrow Plan, you know, they called it the Withrow Plan when I was in state office. And then they changed the name when I went out of office. The next treasurer named it after himself, but he hadn't created it. But that's the way it goes.
That's down the line.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Just what happens. You know, Marian City Schools, now, how was your school career divided up? You started at Elgin?
No, I went to Grand Prairie.
Oh, Grand Prairie.
Yeah, you go back to Grand Prairie, which is no longer in existence. But I went there 9 years, then I went to Harding.
Now, how did you end up at Harding?
Well, I had the choice of either going to Morrill or Harding, and I chose Harding, and we were bussed in. Yeah.
What was that period like, going to Harding at that time?
Well, it was a shock going from Grand Prairie to Harding because Grand Prairie is a small little school, but it was a good experience for me.
So you graduated from Harding?
Yes, uh-huh.
So this is kind of coming back home.
Yeah,
in a
right,
way.
Right. I said the school superintendent when I was in school was Mr. May, And he had a daughter in my class. I don't know if she's still around or where she lives, if she is still around. You know, and then there's a few of the rest of my class, too, that are still around, and they'll be excited about it.
What, did you have a teacher that had any impact on you when you were in school?
Yes, I had. I had a Mary. Oh, geez, I'm having trouble with names. Mary Jo. She was my government teacher, and she that was the only year she taught government, and she followed me throughout my career. She went to all my events. She was terrific. Mary Jo Stafford, yeah. I couldn't think of her name. She just died a few years ago. And my first grade teacher, I had put fishworms in her desk. And she was very upset with me at the time. But then I became U.S. Treasurer and she forgave me. Yeah.
Once you become U.S. Treasurer, she'll forget the fish worms.
Yeah, right.
Were you, what kind of, we talked about student, but what kind of, were you popular in school? Were you in a lot of clubs?
I was in a lot of things. Yeah, I think I was popular. But I wasn't the most popular. I was just, you know, I was just one of the kids, you know.
When you were growing up, was there something you wanted to be when you got out of school?
I didn't know what I wanted to be. I was very into piano. I took piano lessons from Miss Worley, and I was devoting a lot of my time to practicing the piano, and I was in all these musical organizations, but I just had no. And didn't have any real plans after that.
When you were state treasurer, a second term came up. How was the second term different from the first term running?
Well, you have to defend what you've done, and it's constant defending of your situation. I was running. The guy that ran against me was Jeff Jacobs, and he spent $2 million trying to defeat me. And I won. He was from Cleveland. Of course, Jacobs Field is named after his father. His father had spent all the cigarette tax money I'd collected to buy the field and then put his name on it. I said it should have had my name.
I can understand. I can understand. When you were, was there ever any doubt that you were going to run for a second term?
I don't think so, no.
During that election, what was different than the first?
It was a lot easier to raise money, I'll tell you. First time I had a terrible time raising money, and so the second time it was easy to raise money. Cleveland is a heavy Democratic area, and this opponent of mine was from Cleveland, and his father was very influential, and so it was a tough race, but anyway, it ended up okay. And then when I ran the third time, they were after that they instigated the term limits, so you know that was the end on being state treasurer. And besides that, I think I was done being state treasurer. But I just got in contact with a friend of mine who had been in elected state treasurer of Iowa the same time I was. He's still in office. Yes, Mike Fitzgerald is still state treasurer of Iowa. And he started in 1982 like I did. And I saw him the other night at this event that I went to. And he's the longest, he's held the office of state treasurer the longest of anybody in history.
When we talk about politics, one of the things that comes up always is money, that you have to raise money. What is that like, going out to raise money?
Well, it's tough raising money, but it all worked out for me. I got along okay with it. You know.
How big of a staff do you have to have running for re-election for state treasurer?
I had a really good campaign person, Jerry Austin, and also, can't think of his name. I'll think of it in a little bit. Jerry Austin and... Oh, that's upsetting. They both were terrific. And I don't know what's happened to Jerry Austin, but the other guy I see once in a while. And it's frustrating when you can't think of things. And that's happening to me.
The two times you ran for re-election for state treasurer, was there ever a time when you thought that you might not win?
Well, the first time I didn't know, it was a long shot. And the last time I ran three times,
Right.
Yeah. Last time I got more votes than anybody else,
When you were working in Columbus, what is that atmosphere like?
Well, Columbus is big city, a lot different than Marion, running Marion County taxes. You're taking care of a lot more. You've got a lot bigger staff. I had about 180 people where I had five people in Marion. And the first thing I noticed was the mail was not being processed. And every one of those envelopes had a check in it. And so that's the first thing we said, we've got to get that mail going and get the money in the bank. And then the security was another big thing. It's such a big thing when you're taking care of other people's money. Security is everything. And I had a couple of companies come in and give me their opinion on the security in the state treasurer's office. And it gave us some good ideas. Yeah.
When you go into a job like that, that you have never done, is it easy to learn?
Well, I always said I wish they could run me through a computer and just put it in my mind, You got to learn it just like everything else. You learn it as fast as you can, but it's awesome at first. It is awesome, yeah. I had some nervous feelings at night, didn't sleep well.
When you're in a job like that, how much of the staff do you bring in, or is it just there for you?
Oh, I took, three people from the Marion Treasurer's office to Columbus. Two or three people. Yeah, I can't remember for sure which. And then I could take, when I went to the federal office, I could take one. And so that's, it was good to have some of my Marion people with me because, you trusted them. Yeah, you have to learn to trust everybody, but you trusted them because you knew them.
The entire time you were state treasurer, did you always stay in Marion at that point? Live?
Yes. I lived here and drove back and forth,
Now, what was the reaction from the people in Marion as you were state treasurer?
Oh, I think they were excited about it, It was a big deal to have a state official here in Marion.
How important was it for you to be... Well, I guess, how did you come to be a Democrat? How did you line up with that party?
Well, my grandfather, my father. Yes, I was, I just believed in the things that the Democrats believe in. I mean, we're the party of the people. We accept, we don't reject, the people. And it's the Democratic Party to me is the party.
Now, you have worked with the local Democratic Party, the state Democratic Party, and you've been a part of the national Democratic Party. In 2019, how do you think the Democrats are doing?
I think they could be doing better. I don't see the message always that I want to see coming across. They all have their own plans and their own projects they have in mind. Some I agree with, some I don't. Yeah.
Have you seen the Democratic Party change over your time?
Oh, yeah, I really have. I think that we could have a stronger head of our Democratic Party. The man that's the head of the Democratic Party, I think, is not that visible, not strong enough. Yeah.
Now, it's kind of interesting because the years you were state treasurer and running for state treasurer, these were nationally very Republican years. This was the Reagan administration. This was the George H.W. Bush administration. Did that have an effect on state politics?
Well, I suppose it did, but the people that I was running, like we, all the Democrats won in 82, the whole slate was Democratic, and that hadn't happened for a while. There had been a scandal in the state government, and so then in 86, same thing happened. The whole slate won. And then in 90, Voinovich won, and Tony Celebrezze got beat, and Sherrod Brown got beat. He had gone to Japan to take some kind of a situation that they used against him, if I remember correctly. And so it was not the whole Democratic slate again that year. It was different, but I got the most votes of anybody.
Now, somebody who was very visible in Ohio politics during that time, I don't think was ever unseated, another Democrat, would have been John Glenn.
Yes.
What was your relationship like with him?
I love John Glenn. He was the perfect person. Yeah.
What kind of guy was he? Here he had been so famous for the moon trip.
Yeah.
And then he gets in politics and is there for a long, long time. But what was the man who you got to know like?
He was just super duper. I tell you, they don't come any better than John Glenn.
Yeah. When was the last time you saw him?
Oh, let's see. Well, probably, let's see. I didn't go to his funeral. I couldn't go. Probably when I was still in office, and he came over to see me, and we talked about Clinton's situation, and he brought me the $20 bill that I had given him to take up in space. He gave it back to me with the certificate signed by all the astronauts. I think that was the last time I saw him.
When he died, you came on that week, and we remember John Glenn, and you told that story poignantly. And for people who don't remember, at this time, President Bill Clinton is in a world of trouble. He's being impeached. Oh. And John Glenn comes to your office and says what at that point?
He said, you know, he would have been a great president. Or he said, he is a great president, and this is all they're going to remember. And I said, I know it. I said, it makes me so sad to think that, because that's exactly right. That's what happened, you know?
It is interesting. Here we are nearly 20 years after
yes,
he was out of office.
That's all they're talking about, yeah.
Is politics that way? I mean, Richard Nixon never got over Watergate. Clinton is still the punchline of the Monica Lewinsky jokes. Is there any way to overcome that?
Well, Evidently not, or it, you know, how would you over his presidency? He had the economy in a perfect situation. All the money was being handled just exactly the way it should have been, and then nobody remembers that. You know, I'm in the Guinness Book of Records because I've got my signature on more currency than anyone in history. And why is that? It's because of the economy that he had when he was in office, and also because of the 2,000-year celebration when we didn't know what everybody was going to do about their money, so we printed a lot more money. And that's such a sad thing that all we remember is Monica Lewinsky, you know.
You know, I've never thought about that, but you were Treasurer of the United States during Y2K.
Yes.
Now, a lot of people weren't even born.
Yeah,
but
right.
We had a big, we were all flustered in this country because a lot of computers were built and we were told they would not flip over to 2000. People were afraid about losing their money.
That's right.
How was Washington reacting to that?
Well, I was on call, and this is New Year's Eve, and I was in Florida.
Really?
Yeah, I was on call in case anything happened. They had printed, we didn't know whether people were going to, we didn't know what they were going to do with their money, if they were going to put it away somewhere or what. And so we printed quite a few more $100 bills than normal. And so then the next year, we didn't have to print very many $100 bills because of that, because everybody acted properly and nothing happened. But it was a big deal. I mean, we had meetings upon meetings about this, you know.
It was an interesting time.
Yeah.
That was a big deal in 1999.
Yep.
As that approached. You were in your last term as state treasurer, could not run again. When did the idea of national treasurer, how did it all happen?
Well, I had a call from the women executives in state government asking me if I was interested, and I said I was. And then the national Democratic chairman called me and wanted to know if I was interested in it, and I said I was. And so then it went from there. I didn't hear anything, and I was getting ready to run for governor, so that came to a halt. And you're just waiting. There was a lot of people that wanted to be U.S. treasurer. It's a wonderful job, I might add. And so watched all the waited for the phone calls and everything, and I just existed. And I had a chainsaw. I finally took it out on my chainsaw. I was cutting everything down all around in my yard. I had a pile in the back of the yard, like as tall as the house, and it was all frustration. Mm-hmm. And so then toward the end of the summer, I was trying to remember when they called me, said it was down to two people, this woman from Colorado and me. And then November 22nd, I got the call that I had gotten it. But it was a waiting process.
And this is a little known story. We've talked about it. But you had already decided, had this not happened, to run for governor.
Yeah, right.
When did that become something on the radar?
That was after, it was in, 1992, 1993, along in there, I was starting to think about it and starting to prepare for it, really. And then I had a big fundraiser, I think, in 1993. And then I got this phone call, and then everything stopped. Yeah.
Now, it's interesting because Bill Clinton took office in January of 1993,
mm-hmm.
and you became treasurer in March of 1994.
Right.
What happened to the first treasurer under Bill Clinton?
There was none.
There had not been one.
The one before that had been there under H.W. Bush went to prison. Yeah, she didn't pay her taxes, and she was in the same department as the IRS, and she didn't pay any attention, and they warned her and warned her. She had a computer business, and she'd earned $700,000 and hadn't reported it. And so that's sort of the story. And so they had a felon's name on the money. Okay. Now, I was treasurer of Ohio, and we had a Republican governor, and that, so that meant there would be a Republican appointed to my position. So it took a while for everything to go through.
Who did end up with your position in Ohio?
Ken Blackwell. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we remember what happened with him.
He's had an interesting time. Every once in a while, he's on television. He's in some organization that he comes on and voices his opinion. I can't remember the organization that he's in, but he followed me, and then there was several. It seemed like he won the election in that fall, but then there was several different people after that. I can't even tell you who the current state treasurer is right now.
You know, I'm not sure.
Richardson ran for it, the Democrat, but it was not him that won. So,
when was the first time you spoke with Bill Clinton?
I spoke with Bill Clinton back in 91. When did he announce to run? I spoke with him after he had announced. I met him and talked to him, and I knew about his interest in women, and I was not that anxious to be involved. And so then when he appointed Al Gore, I said, if he's good enough for Al Gore, he's good enough for me. So that's how it went. Yeah.
Now, when you were being considered and chosen for Treasurer of the United States, did you have any conversation with him at that point?
With Bill Clinton?
With Bill Clinton.
Let's see. I don't... Oh, yes, I did. He was in Columbus, and I saw him a couple of times in between there. Yeah, and I would say, I would ask him how things are going and try to find out if, I was going to get the job or not, but never found it out from him. Yeah.
Your name is so closely associated with him because it was his administration.
Yeah, right.
What would you call your relationship with him?
It was a good relationship. I really liked Bill Clinton then. After you're around him and you get to know him, he's super nice, yeah.
How close were you to him?
I would see him probably about once every 2 weeks, probably.
When the election, we all remember the election of 2000.
Yeah.
When that was over, yeah, and he was getting ready to leave office, did he call the people to say thank you or anything of that nature as he was on his way out?
Yeah, we got thank yous written to us. Yeah, it was written. It was a terrible time.
When you were in Washington from 94 to 2001 in office, what is it like as far as we see these state dinners and trips? What's it like to go to the White House working in the administration?
A lot of fun, you know. I went to the 200-year celebration. I sat at the table with Bill Cohen, the Director of Defense, and his wife, and LBJ's daughter and her husband. He was in the Senate. He had just got beat. And I was at the table right where they would walk up to the podium. My chair was, they had to walk right by me. And it was the president from Reagan through Clinton and their wives. And I shook hands with every one of them, except Reagan wasn't there because he was sick. And Elizabeth... Elizabeth Taylor was there in the back in a wheelchair, I guess. She came in late. And it was a thrill to be there. You walk in, and they take your picture, and they announce your name, and then it goes from there. Yeah.
When you were out giving speeches, appearing on C-SPAN, appearing, I remember when you did the national interview with Connie Chung right after.
Yes.
You.
Yeah.
That was a big deal.
Yeah.
Did you, and so it comes back to the woman thing, because we would never ask this of a man, but how cognizant were you of how you dressed, looked?
I tried to dress as good as I could, because it's very, very important. You had to look good, yeah.
Do you have people who help you with that when you're on the national level?
No, I ask people if they like this or like that, but no, I made my own decisions on what I was wearing, yeah.
When you're there in Washington, what kind of town is it?
Well, I was living in Bethesda. I had nice neighbors. They all had important jobs. I mean, that's what was so fascinating, because everybody around you was in something that was very interesting. The guy right beside me was in the Department of
and Drug Administration.
It's Food and Drug, isn't it?
I
yeah,
think so.
Yeah. He was Chinese when they had the Olympics in China. He was over there for several weeks visiting his family, and then I had an interesting time. My neighbors were all very interesting people. And I liked where I lived, and that is important, because I think if you try to live in an apartment in downtown Washington, you wouldn't be very happy. But I'd take I'd drive to work usually. Sometimes I'd take the metro. I did like the metro, but I usually drove. I had a parking spot, and it was fun in Washington. I really liked it.
Now, how long would it take you to get to work?
Well, I would go real early, like around 7, to beat the traffic. And then coming home, I'd be in bad traffic. Take me about an hour and a half to get home, but take me about less than an hour probably to get there in the morning.
Now, the time you were U.S. Treasurer, it was interesting because you would come back to Marion quite a bit.
Yeah.
And this was always a huge deal when you would come back. What was it like to come back as Treasurer of the United States?
Well, it was a joy because I'd see my family and I didn't have all the traffic. When I came back to live, I thought, oh, thank goodness this traffic is decent.
Yeah. It's different.
Yeah.
It's definitely
yeah,
different.
Right.
Were you cognizant of how big you had become when you got that position? What an important
figure. Yes, I was. After I was sworn in, I said, well, they can't take it away from me now.
It's interesting, the swearing in, Lloyd Benson was there, and Al Gore,
uh-huh,
vice president at the time, and you gave them the Ohio State Bucks sweatshirt.
Yes.
What do you remember from that day, that ceremony?
Well, I remember Al Gore eating the cookies. The cookies were still warm. And he was meeting my family back in the back room, and my grandchildren were so thrilled of all this. And, it was a really exciting day, and the room was just packed. I mean, they had chairs in there, and they decided that there was too many people coming. They took the chairs out, so everybody was standing. And we had gone to eat in this Ethiopian restaurant the night before and taken our family and everybody that was there to the restaurant. And I remember eating that Ethiopian food and thinking, we've got to be in good shape for tomorrow.
It was a big day.
Yeah, we were sitting there eating the tablecloth. That's what you do in the Ethiopian restaurant.
Well, it was an interesting choice the night before.
Yeah, it was different.
It was different, absolutely. Do you have a lot of pictures and things from that day?
You know, I don't know. I don't have a good picture of my office. I said, I don't know what I was thinking about. I took a million pictures in that office, and I can't find them. I had this one, I call it a break front. It was a huge antique, and I think it's on loan from Baltimore because they said it had to go back to Baltimore this year, and I was trying to get somebody to take a picture of it and send it to me, but so far I haven't been successful. But all the antiques at Treasury are so fascinating, and then the money hanging on the wall. I mean, there's old money all over that place on the wall, and the designs that had been on that money at some time, you know, somebody's drawings, it's lots of that. And then, of course, I had the vault that had held the money from 1862 until 1905 when it was moved somewhere else. And I just loved being there. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite thing about it, doing that job?
Yeah. You're invited to everything. Yeah. And it's a wonderful title.
I can imagine. I can imagine it would be.
I said, you can't get a better title than that.
No. When you left, what was the big difference? How did you spend those days after leaving?
Well, I went into depression. I did. They sent me to a grief conference. I was so depressed. Yeah. I was terribly depressed. Yeah.
How long did it take to get through that?
It took too long. Yeah. Too long.
When did you decide that you would come back to Marion?
Well, Norman and I decided to stay in Bethesda because we liked it there. So we stayed another 10 years. Yeah.
What was that 10-year period like?
It was, I was working on my house and my yard all the time. I spent most of my time working on my yard, which needed a lot of work. I had all these azaleas around the house that needed trimmed. And, I tell you, I started a flower bed in the back. And I just did so much work outside and inside both, yeah.
After that 10 years, what made you decide? I mean, you came back for your family, but was there a particular reason at that point you said this is the time to come back?
Well, our health was not doing too great. Both of us thought we better get back with our family. And, that was the big reason, yeah.
And you've been back now for 8 years?
Yeah, 2011 and, 8 years.
What has this been like, to come back home, be with your family?
It's great. I like it here.
Good time.
Yeah, I like it here.
What do you think happened to Al Gore?
I don't know. I don't ever see him or hear from him. I hear him talk about climate control all the time, and I think about him because he was the one. But he's probably living a happy life. I think he's in California. They thought he was in San Diego. You know, he's still married to his wife. They never got a divorce.
So just separated.
They just separated. Yeah, I find that strange. Yeah.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
When Hillary ran for office, did you always suspect that would happen?
I didn't expect her to run for the Senate, and then I didn't expect her to run for president. I was surprised both times. But less surprised when she ran for president because, you know, running for Senate, she's planning to do something probably. So, yeah, she was such a capable person, and she would have made a great president.
We have talked about what history remembers about Bill Clinton. What will history say about Hillary?
I don't think it's going to be very good because they just have bad things to say about her. People said they didn't like her, and it's terrible because she was she ran a campaign that probably could have been run better, but I don't know. It's strange how things end up.
Do you have a favorite president when you look back at him?
Yeah, Roosevelt, and then I said Clinton was first, and then Roosevelt. Always Roosevelt was my favorite because I grew up with Roosevelt, and I just thought the sun rose and set in Roosevelt. And then I was very, very happy about Clinton, but I wasn't very happy about Monica Lewinsky, but otherwise I thought he was terrific.
What was that time like in Washington? You were there, I think, only the second time a president's ever been impeached.
It was not a much fun. I mean, when I would go speak to the school children, they'd ask me if I knew Bill Clinton, and I said, well, he appointed me, and they'd go, you know, they'd take an intake of breath. I said, I wish he could hear that. Yeah.
How does that feel when that's going on? That's a lot of, I mean, it was in the news every day.
Oh, yeah. But I tell you, there, I think it's different than it would have been here. You're in the administration, you're doing your job, and I remember going to the a senior staff meeting one day, and Robert, the secretary, Robert, geez, I'm having a bad day today on names. Anyway, he said, Bill Clinton is running the office just like always. I mean, he felt that things were going along okay, you know, but it would be a tremendous strain on you in that situation. And that's what's going on now, of course. I mean, tremendous strain on the person.
Was there ever a time working in the administration that you thought he might be removed after he was impeached?
Well, no, I knew that he'd probably finish out. I never thought that he would leave, no.
Should he have been impeached for that?
I didn't think so, but of course that's my opinion. The thing was, everybody was so mad about this government shutdown that they said they were never going to vote for another Republican again. And the feeling about that was much, much stronger than anything about Monica Lewinsky, as far as the people around me.
When you look back at your life at this point, with this great honor coming up here very soon, do you ever look back and think, wow, that's what a ride.
I do. I think, my gosh, how did I do that? You know, how did I manage all of that? And it's amazing to me that all of the things that I did, that I think I had tremendous help.
Yeah. Did what do you think it was? Because you have to be likable to be elected. What do you think you did that change the trajectory of your life?
I don't know. I must have influenced enough people, you know.
In a positive way.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And coming up very soon, you will be able to drive by the Mary Ellen Withrow Middle School Academy, the Old Oak Street School, 565 Oak Street, now the Boys and Girls Club, and the Mary Ellen Withrow High School Academy, 1565 Amherst Drive, the old Colonial Acres Elementary. And again, first school in Marion County history named for a woman or a living person. That is historic, to say the least. And Mary Ellen will be having an open house this Saturday, August 31st from 2 to 4 p.m., at her museum located at Primrose, 1550 Wellness Drive, free admission, and Mary Ellen will be there to take your questions. You won't want to miss that. Mary Ellen, it could not happen to a better person.
Thank you.
I am so excited.
I am too. Yeah.
I can't wait to drive by and see it out there. And thank you for coming in, as always.
Oh, you're welcome. I love coming in.
Mary Ellen Withrow, 40th Treasurer of the United States. How about that? Stay tuned. More programming right around the corner.
Wouldn't really make a bill very good looking. I mean, the women did a lot of good. I mean, don't get me wrong, but they're kind of...
Well, wait a second. What are you saying?
If they put somebody like Marilyn Monroe or...
Go ahead and say it.